Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
You're damn right we start now. Happy Thursday to everybody listening right here on Sports Radio 610. It is In the Loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. We'll have our guy Andy Kalu, as we frequently do on Thursdays at 11:20. Get involved with the program as I catch things that are falling next to me. That's the receiver in me,
yeah.
Sean, is the steady hands. You guys get involved with the program. The YouTube and Twitch are available to you. Sports Radio 610 on YouTube. Twitch is 610 Houston. And then also, shout out to 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans for the 5-Hour Energy fan line. I think we're moving into this matchup.
Yeah, we are.
The first time this season that we get to play the Tennessee Titans, so all sorts of things involved there. But immediately, one of the things that has jumped out for a lot of folks is this defense, right? Like, it's not a good team by record, clearly. We've talked about that time and time again when we go around the AFC South after game days. But this one feels a little bit different because we look at it as not a particularly good team, a 2-8 mm-hmm. Tennessee Titans team. But the defense is something different, and I think Sean has done a good job of pointing out this. I mean, all over the show, we've had people talking about this. Seth as well, obviously, talking about this defense and the interior of the defensive line and the ways that it can challenge this team. But I want to put something up to you here, John. Mm-hmm. I think that there might actually be a bigger challenge in this Tennessee Titans game.
Yeah.
So could I be correct that this is the bigger challenge in the Tennessee Titans game? So C.J. Stroud was talking yesterday, as he does on Wednesdays, along with D'Amico Ryans. One of the things that he was talking about was, you know, with this Tennessee Titans team.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he brought up was third down. And I feel like that might be the biggest challenge with this Tennessee Titans team is actually third downs. Because this Texans team, that has been one of their biggest problems, is dealing with third down.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get you the stats here in a second, as the computer never wants to work when you want it to work, right? Mm-hmm. But this Texans team has literally had the most third downs, literally just third downs period of anybody in the league, 165. Their EPA per play on those third downs, like 10th, not bad by any stretch of the imagination. There's a lot of them because of the first and second down play calling and such.
Mm-hmm.
Their conversion percentage, especially over expected, 13th, like right. Average. But when you look at this defense for the Tennessee Titans, it's not just that they are terrifying. It's also that they've been really good at not allowing teams to play very well on third down. And so I do wonder if converting on third down, especially with the concerns that have been had about first and second down play calling, I think that there's been some level of progress there
mm-hmm.
from Bobby Slowik just generally, but especially in that Cowboys game. But I wonder how much of that was the Cowboys themselves not being a particularly good defense, or at least
right.
being in a bad way. I think that the challenge of making sure that you get yourself into advantageous third downs and then converting them at a pretty good clip
mm-hmm.
is going to be the big challenge against the Tennessee Titans defense that does that pretty well.
Okay, so I'm really glad you brought this up, because I stumbled across a stat yesterday that I didn't really know what to do with, and maybe this is the perfect place for it. So it's interesting because the Tennessee Titans don't blitz a lot. They don't blitz a little. I mean, they're smack in the middle. I think they're like 17th or 18th in the NFL in terms of
blitz percentage.
Blitz percentage.
I'll double check.
And I counter.
Not that I doubt you. I just
no,
want to help
please
you
double
out
check, because I do a lot of this stuff just off of memory from what I saw earlier. But I think they're like 17th or 18th in blitz percentage this year. So that would mean I countered that with the fact that C.J. Stroud against the blitz is not really that good this year. His quarterback rating is 23rd in the NFL. That's the stat I stumbled across, and I said, well, does that mean anything in this game? Because the Titans don't really blitz a lot. They're kind of in the middle of the pack.
25th, in fact, in blitz percentage.
Oh, I saw 18th is what I was remembering, but that's even more so the case. That fits this even more so. So if they don't blitz a lot, and C.J. Stroud is 23rd in the league in against the blitz, does it really matter? Well, what you're saying is on third downs, they don't need to blitz a lot either.
No.
You know?
No, they don't. In fact, they are the fifth best team when it comes to third down conversions allowed over expected, right?
Right.
And that is only bested by the Bears, the Packers, the Chargers, and interestingly enough, the Cowboys.
Yeah. So I think what we're seeing here, it kind of feeds into your point. You know, they're not real good on third down. They're pretty good defensively on third down. And the scary part is they may not even have to blitz. That's where I was getting at. And if you can, as I guess it was the Jets and the Lions that got there a lot with just their front four, that's a problem. That's a problem for C.J. Stroud and the Texans offense. If you don't have to blitz, because then you have better coverage and more DBs on the field.
But that still ties in some ways to what I think a lot of people have talked about with these matchups. And of course, on the text line, 5-Hour Energy fan line from the 832, I think our offensive stats matter when Nico is on the field. And mm-hmm. I think that's a fair thing to point out. Mm-hmm. Nico Collins also just did not have a lot of snaps.
47% of the offensive snaps.
And it stands to reason. He's coming off of a soft tissue injury, specifically the hamstring. I know not all soft tissue is made the same. The hamstring seems to be a particularly onerous part of the body to deal with. In fact, the Nico Collins, I don't know what degree of injury felt like, and even that kept him out of the game for 5 weeks. It's one of those things that you want to treat with a level of care and concern, so you can understand why they're kind of ramping him up.
Yeah.
As he gets more playing time, you can see all of the effects that have been so well detailed time after time of Nico Collins on an offense, how that'll help, right? The big body and the ability to work a slant and be able to separate from a defender, be able to create space or use, you know, his speed and his elusiveness, all those things show up. And then just the ways that he draws attention from a defense, and it's a zero sum game with the defense. You have so much attention, much of your resources on a field that you can spend in different areas. Nico Collins inherently attracts more of that spend from a defense than anyone else on the field, right? All those things are going to factor in, but how does that show up?
It's really interesting to see how this is going to play out. Because you're right, and the texture is right. You know, Nico on the field, you're going to be better on at least statistically in a lot of ways. But keep in mind, even with Nico on the field, they were still having issues, you know, offensively. C.J. Stroud was still sort of getting rattled a little bit here and there, and they were still giving up a lot of pressures and many more sacks. But then you have to balance that with that's when Kenyon Green was on the field, and that's when the Juice Scruggs was protecting him, and Laremy Tunsil was protecting him. So I would lean toward Nico on the field is going to mitigate that a little bit more.
It'll help.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's a cure-all.
Right, to what degree. And Texans were 4 of 12 on third down against the Cowboys. And that was a game that you felt like you found some things. And that was still 33% on third down. So, how does that battle out? How does that battle play out? I think is going to be an interesting one. But now let's go back to the one that I think I'm trying to be a little bit of a hipster bringing up third downs. Let's go to the one that I think a lot of people are talking about, which is that interior of the defensive line. Jeffrey Simmons, Tavondre Sweat versus the interior of the offensive line. Because sometimes you don't have to be a hipster. Sometimes it's better to just be straightforward and talk about that. This is clearly going to matter as a matchup in this game, though.
It's you know, as much as we talk about Laremy Tunsil and, you know, how is he in the room, and Titus Howard, is he going to be worth the money? The weakest part of this line is the interior. You know, as much as they are a problem on the outside, the weakest part is where they've mixed and matched the most, where they've had the most trouble, where they've shuffled the lineup the most. And frankly, this past week, the three of the lowest rated Texans, at least according to PFF, were Jarrett Patterson, Juice Scruggs, and Shaq Mason. Those are all three your interior guys. Now, I don't care, Nico on the field, Nico not on the field, that could be a problem against the Titans.
Absolutely, especially when you lean in and you know that. And this stat gets skewed a little bit because of Kenyon Green, as we talked about, but the Texas interior offensive linemen have allowed a total of 112 pressures this season, which is the third most in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's something that you know, but the stats make it even more jarring that that's the case. Jeffrey Simmons has generated 25 pressures on 238 rushes. Hey, man, are you going to be able to keep him out of the backfield?
Strong,
and Tavondre Sweat as well, right? Tavondre Sweat also a big guy who has a little bit of mobility. And really, the big thing is strength when you compare it to the interior of this offensive line. That is not, they're not big boys necessarily. Yeah. They're big boys relatively because offensive line, that's what it is. But it feels like you're kind of undersized. You have Juice Scruggs playing left guard.
Oh, Juice is undersized.
He is a center.
Absolutely,
right?
He is, yeah.
And then Shaq Mason has size, but then what is the mobility with that size and the strength that he can put to ground, so to say, with that size? Like, I think that clearly is going to be a big challenge, especially because what are the things that a quarterback hates is pressure up the middle. Like, what are the things that help you run the football is being able to, you know, get that blocking up the middle. That's the thing that can really blow up a play, is if you have that movement up the middle where your guys are being pushed backwards. So, yeah, that's going to be a huge challenge in this game. One of the biggest. I'm willing to throw out the third downs in particular because we knew the offensive line is where it is, right? We know that's a challenge. Plus, this offense has needed third downs to continue drives. Mm-hmm. This has not been a typical Shanahan offense, or at least one like the Niners, where the Niners are playing for, they're trying to get a first down and two downs. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why you level of difficulty.
We don't want third down conversions.
No, they don't even want thirds. First and second down, and they usually do a good job of it. This year's Niners team has definitely had some issues, admittedly. But they typically do a good job of, like, hey, getting up the field quickly, getting first downs on first and second down. This team, almost at some points, and it's one of the big frustrations that the Texans fans and others have had with Bobby Slowick and this offense, is it feels like first and second down, while also not being successful, have almost felt like they're being lit on fire in some ways, right? Like, which seems to imply a certain level of negligence or whatever the right word is there. It feels like you can't do that. We've already learned that you can't do that. Put CJ Stroud in just a whole bunch of third and longs and expect the individual brilliance of him.
Yeah.
Like, that's already created issues. I think that becomes a bigger issue when you go up against the Titans team. Admittedly, missing some of their, like, cornerbacks that they lean on, like a Chidobe Awuzie and stuff like that. Yeah. But just this defense has done a good job all season long in making third downs.
When you do the little check mark game on where each team has the advantage, most of them are going to go the Texans' way. But the interior offensive line versus the interior of the Titans defensive line is a giant check mark for the Titans. Like, huge. Based on everything we've been talking about. So, I would say, and I fully expect this, I would say Bobby Slowick, there's never been a better time, nor I don't think there is going to be a better time that he does it to mix things up on first and second down. Because if you try to just do the Joe Mixon, well, maybe he'll cut back and find 7 or 8 yards or 45 yards or whatever it is. You might be in trouble against this interior because they'll blow it up from the inside out.
And that's why I had a level of pushback was that yesterday when we were talking about, oh, man, this team has defense, it has a run game. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see, right? Like, this is going to be one of those tests on how strong that run game is in large part because the offensive line has quite the challenge up the middle. And I like to, you know, kind of circle back around in some ways to where we started. This is CJ Stroud talking yesterday. The first question he got was his thoughts on the Titans defense, as you will, you know, going into a game.
Right.
You kind of see what the thought is. And I'll read verbatim. Very talented. They have a really good defense and they put it on film. They're almost top 10 in every category that we go over on days like today. They're number one on third down and they have a lot of playmakers. Jeffrey Simmons is a great player. Legarius Sneed, he has been out, but he is a great player as well. I think he is a good backer. It's going to be a challenge for us. Those are all great points. Like Jeffrey Simmons, rather, obviously, he's there, right? Legarius Sneed, cornerback who really was one of the real big playmakers for the Chiefs in their Super Bowl run, right? He's there in Tennessee, although he's dealt with injuries. But the first thing that he mentioned, third downs.
Yeah, yeah. First thing he mentioned
was, which makes me think that that's something that they're talking about in their meetings.
Yeah. And by the way, Legarius Sneed is officially, at least according to Brian Callahan, not going to play.
Okay,
on Sunday. So that's a good mark for the Texans. But what we're talking about here is you got to flip the script. You've got to be able to throw more on first down. To obviously get to the outside on first and second down, because they will eat you alive on third down. Number one in the NFL, speaks for itself. And if you get into a 3rd and 7, 3rd and 10, whatever it may be, that's a series that's not going to go very far. I mean, that series is over.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Thirsty Thursday. Coming up next, when something's bad, it's entertaining. Like, when is something bad that it's entertaining, rather? And I am relatively young in this thing. I'm 32 years old. I would like to go to the OG to get the full accounting on why I should be as mad as he is about Amy Adams Strong. We'll talk about that next.
I will let you know.